Members, please register their presence by voting. Clerk, please state the quorum.
18 present, 22 absent.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, Representatives Anderson, Bradley, Buckhold, Eliason, Greening, Osterbeck, Snyder, and Swanson are excused from the call of the House today, although Representative Eliason is present. I'll ask unanimous consent that other absent members be chosen excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Representative, you're in.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the House for 55 minutes from now.
Hearing no objection, the motion's adopted. For how long will that be, Representative, you're in?
For the duration.
Due to the fact that there's neither a quorum nor the number present to advance bills, we'll take another roll call when more members are present in the chamber. Our chaplain today is Pastor Robert McNabb of the Douglas Methodist Church. Would the House please rise for prayer?
We come to this moment of quietness, O God, thankful for its refreshing nature. Touch each life here this morning with your spirit that our deepest needs may be met. Guide each one in moments of great decision and make clear the paths that we must take. Teach us how to respond to those around us, those we love, and those with whom we work, and those who look to us for leadership. Help us always to keep in mind that which is good for all. This we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread upon the journal.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. House, please stand at ease. Certification, the journal will await the arrival of a quorum. Brings us down to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction to the chambers? Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Gives me a great privilege this morning, I think in Gallery A, we have Bennett Day here in the House. First of all, I'd like to introduce my mother, Fresno, California, Jessie Bennett. And also from Fresno, California, her sister, Mrs. Pearl Oftedal. And on the far left, my daughter, third year at the University of Alaska at Fairbanks, Barbara Bennett. And on the far right, my son, who has just graduated as a civil engineer from the University of Alaska at Fairbanks, Jim Bennett. And the tour guide for the expedition is my wife, Beverly.
Representative Lovesett.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A, I take pleasure in presenting Mrs. Astrid Sandstrom, a curator of collections, for the Cordova Museum.
Are there further guests for introduction? If not, since we didn't have a quorum at the first roll call this morning, we'll take another roll call vote. Members, please indicate their presence by voting. Clerk, please take the quorum.
24 present, 16 absent.
The clerk, please certify as to the correctness of the Daily Journal.
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 102nd day in House Supplement Number 35.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 102nd day and for House Supplement Number 35.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Are there any messages from the Governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has adopted the Free Conference Committee report on House Bill Number 780 and Senate Committee substitute for House Bill Number 780 Finance, thus adopting Free Conference Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill Number 780, Special Appropriations to Department of Health and Social Services for lump sum grants to alcoholism programs in the state. This bill has been sent to enrolling. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
A communication has been received from Commissioner Helen Byrne of the Department of Health and Social Services, transmitting a report on cost of care rate hearings. The report and letter will be printed in the supplemental journal. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees.
The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 732 relating to the producers of goods in Alaska under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 732 and is reported back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, signing DuPass, Parr, and Hayes. Excuse me. Signing no recommendation, McKinnon and Brown. Signing do not pass, Chatterton and Carpenter. House Bill 732 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 825 relating to certain state health inspection functions under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Parr, Carpenter, Hayes, McKinnon, and Brown. House Bill 825 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 924, amending the Historical District Loan Act, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by McKinnon, Chatterton, Parr, Hayes, and Brown. House Bill 924 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House bills.
House Bill 944 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to the Alaska Public Utilities Commission and providing for an effective date.
Referred to the Commerce Committee.
House Bill 945 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the requirements for the issuance of teacher certificates.
Referred to Health, Education, and Social Services.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us down to consideration of the calendar. And the members who are not present on the earlier roll call, quorum call votes that we took, will now have an opportunity to indicate their presence. Members, please indicate their presence by voting. Clerk, please take the quorum.
Four present, six absent.
Clerk, please read the first item on the calendar.
House Bill 855 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to public corporations or other municipal instrumentalities and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 855 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment. The report was signed by Mrs. Rudd, Chairman, concurred in by Rudd, Loveseth, Phillips, O.C., Anderson, Kelly, Snyder, Nakak, and Smith. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read amendment number one.
Amendment number one by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. Page one, line 19. Delete the period and add, which the municipality has the power to provide.
Representative Rudd.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Hearing no objection, amendment number one is adopted. Is the clerk of further amendments to the bill?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 855 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. The clerk please read House Bill 855 in third reading.
House Bill 855 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to public corporations or other municipal instrumentalities and providing for an effective date.
Representative Brown. Mr. Speaker, I think I understand what the intention of this bill is. Pretty short bill. My concern is, what is an other municipal instrumentality? I know what a public corporation is, and its rights and duties and liabilities are rather well defined. I presume that this says that a home rule or general law municipality may establish a public corporation by having articles filed with the Department of Commerce in the usual way for any nonprofit corporation. I assume that's what it would be. But what is an other municipal instrumentality? In our statutes where we establish things like ASHA, the Medical Indemnity Corporation of Alaska, and so forth, we establish bodies through the state as instrumentalities separate from the state or having an existence separate from the state, but corporations. It concerns me as to what this entity is going to be, and maybe the Judiciary Committee should have looked at this bill. Representative Rudd?
Mr. Speaker, I believe that what is in mind there is financing authorities of various kinds, revenue bond issuing authorities. For instance, Ketchikan wants to establish a port authority to take care of its airports and its boat harbors. And that is the kind of instrumentality that's anticipated under other.
Representative Brown?
Well, Mr. Speaker, the... When the state has done that sort of thing, it's been in a very careful statute providing for a kind of a quasi-corporation along the lines of the Alaska State Housing Authority. Here we don't know what this entity is going to be. We're going to have a local government simply passing something by ordinance to create an other municipal instrumentality, whatever that is. We don't know whether it can sue, who it can sue, or... who can sue it, among other things, or how its obligations are taken care of in the event of insolvency. If there's a definition of municipal instrumentality in the municipal code, perhaps that helps, but although I'm not an expert on that code, I don't know of any, and that's my concern. I support the intention of the bill.
State your point, Representative Chatterton.
Mr. Speaker, it appears to me that we're debating existing statute that was passed in the session laws in 1976.
That's, I think, more properly a point of information, but thank you, Representative Chatterton, for the point of information. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, unless I'm mistaken, this appears to be identical with the existing statutes except for Section 2, which is a retroactive date there. And I wonder if that could be clarified.
Representative Rudd?
Mr. Speaker, it is identical with existing statute except for Section 2 and except for the amendment that was just adopted by the amendment by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. The reason we're reenacting it is that the bill was passed originally in 1976. It's been under a cloud because of a ruling or an opinion by the Attorney General ever since then that the bill of which it was a part was not did not fall under the single subject requirements. The Attorney General questioned this section of the bill that was passed in 1976 as being different in subject from the rest of the bill. Therefore, the governor did allow it to become law, but he served notice at that time that he felt that it fell under a cloud. The committee was told that no municipality has ever taken advantage of this section of the law because of the cloud. So the retroactive section, for instance, is not trying to grandfather anyone in or take care of any municipality which has tried to establish a public corporation. It is simply to make us square with the present law.
Representative Brown?
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'm not going to rag this around. I didn't sit on the committee that considered this, so therefore I did not, since the bill is written in the repealed and reenacted form, it was not clear what was new and what was old language, but I think the question still arises, and even if it was passed in 1976, since it hasn't been used, nobody's had a chance to find out if there is a problem But because we are in third reading, what I'll do is I'll, presuming the bill passes, I will serve notice of reconsideration and try to look at the question over the weekend, because I am concerned about what in the world is a municipal instrumentality.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Brown notes that when the state, when the legislature creates instrumentalities, it does so with considerable thought and study. I think the assumption that we have to make here is that when the local legislature, meaning the local assembly or the local city council, creates an instrumentality, they too will do so with thought and without a bunch of frivolous, you know, just let get on with it things. I think they will give the same the same care and thought and foresight to creating the instrumentalities that they create, just as we do.
Representative Brown.
Well, just once more, Mr. Speaker, one of the problems is, for instance, well, last year we passed a bill with regard to municipal liability. And to what extent would that apply to a municipal instrumentality? Or if it's going to be a separate entity, is its liabilities different from that of a municipality? And that's a law passed since the 1976 enactment. And I don't really think that even home rule municipalities have such broad authority under our law that they, like the legislature, can create, abolish, or change the law of corporations or the law with regard to the liability of entities which can act legally or be acted upon legally. They cannot do that, no matter how comprehensive they try to be in the passage of an ordinance establishing what whatever a municipal instrumentality may be. Those are some of the reasons for my concern. I have no objection to the intention of the bill. I do understand what it's for, but I will vote for it and then serve notice of reconsideration so I can look at this problem.
Is there further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 855 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Thirty-four yeas, no nays, six excused.
And so House Bill 855 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 850, that the roll call on House Bill 855 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Representative Brown.
Speaker, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on this bill.
Clerk, please note Representative Brown's notice of reconsideration of his vote on House Bill 855. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill 873 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. An act relating to the salaries of elected municipal officials. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 873 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 873 and that it do pass. Report was signed by Mrs. Rudd, Chairman, concurred in by Rudd, Lefseth, Phillips, Anderson, Kelly, Nackack, and Smith. Mr. Snyder has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the CRA committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Representative Freeman.
May we have an explanation of the difference between the original and the committee substitute?
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, I would prefer just to explain what the committee substitute does, and then if there are still questions, we'll go back to the original bill. The committee substitute allows municipalities and members of the assembly or council of the municipality to set the salaries of mayors and other elected officials, including their own salaries, by ordinance. And the ordinance may not be a budget document, a document making an appropriation. The reason for that provision is that the committee was concerned that members of the body might try to slip in a big pay raise in a large budget document, and therefore the pay raise would not get the public scrutiny that the committee felt that it should get. So the provision is that the ordinance must stand by itself, basically. Then the second section B is present law, I believe, except that we added travel to the money that is not included within the compensation. The section 2 of the bill states that for the purposes of adopting salary schedules for themselves, conflict of interest questions do not arise in the municipal level. And the third section simply amends the law as to the powers of municipalities that must be carried out by ordinance to fix the compensation of the mayor of the municipality and the members of the assembly or council. The bill arose from some problems that came to us mainly from Ketchikan and Fairbanks, in that they were having trouble raising the salary of the mayor or the assembly, because the present law provides that salaries may not be reduced during a term of office, but they do not provide that they can be raised. And both Ketchikan and Fairbanks had a desire to raise salaries. In addition, in Ketchikan, they found that they could raise the salary of the assembly, but because the assembly serves overlapping terms, they would have to wait until a new election before they could raise the salary of individual assembly members. They could raise the salary as of a certain date, but the individual members of the assembly could not receive that raise until they had gone through another election or until another assembly person had taken their place. And in Ketchikan, they were paying half of their assembly one salary and half of their assembly another salary. In the Fairbanks situation, I think the problem was that the mayor's salary cannot be reduced during a term of office. So what the committee tried to do was to assure, through the mechanisms of an ordinance, and which, of course, an ordinance has to go to public hearing, assure that there would be enough public scrutiny of any raise in pay, but then to give the municipalities the power to be more flexible in whether in how much they wanted to pay their officials and when the raises or reductions could take place. Section 2.
Is there further objection to the adoption of the committee substitute? Representative Brown?
Mr. Speaker, I'm just trying to, in camera, ask Mrs. Rudd to explain Section 2 a little more. I'm not quite sure I understand how we're affecting the conflict of interest law here about what does or does not constitute a substantial financial interest and so forth.
Representative Rudd.
Could we have an ease while I look up the citation here?
Will the House please stand at ease? Motion pending before the House is, shall the House adopt the Community Regional Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill 873? Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. Brown asked a question about Section 2. Section 2 is a further section or a follow-up section on a section of present law, which I will read. It says, each home rule and general law municipality shall adopt a conflicts of interest ordinance, which, other provisions of this chapter notwithstanding, includes provision that any officer or employee shall disqualify himself from participating in any official action in which he has a substantial financial interest. And then it goes on to say what will happen if a municipality fails to adopt such an ordinance. Because municipal officers must disqualify themselves if they have a substantial financial interest, the committee felt that it was necessary to add another section saying that at least when they set their own salaries, they don't have to disqualify themselves. They've got to bite the bullet on that one, and that is not a conflict of interest under that section of the law.
Is there further discussion? Is there further objection to the adoption of the committee substitute? Hearing no further objection, the committee substitute is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 873 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The clerk, please read House Bill 873 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 873 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to the salaries of elected municipal officials.
Is there further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Bill 873 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 1 Nay, 6 Excused.
And so House Bill 873 has passed the House. Brings us to the end of today's calendar and down to unfinished business. Representative Miller.
Speaker, with the permission of the Rules Chairman, I'm going to move that Senate Bill 184, which presently is in House Rules, be taken from Rules and sent back to House Finance. I ask unanimous consent.
Senate Bill 184 deals with the fisheries loans programs. Representative Nakak. There's a motion pending. Is there objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Senate Bill 184 will be returned to the Finance Committee. Representative Nakak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to the body two friends of mine from different areas of the state. Both have had the distinct knowledge and experience of working on the Land Claims Act over the past approximate 15 years, working in Washington, D.C., working in the state and in other areas, both personal good friends of mine. One had the distinct occurrence of being the only lady to give Johnny Carson on the Tonight Show an USIC, which he promptly blew on. But in Gallery A, two very fine ladies of our state, Laura Burt and Mary Jane Fate.
Are there further guests for introduction? Representative Miller.
Speaker, may we be at ease?
House, please stand at ease. We're under unfinished business. Is there further unfinished business come before the House? Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, we have two items pending from the other body, communications on the one which has to do with the Alaska State Council on the Arts. We're holding off perhaps till right before adjournment because we're awaiting some information, but on the other we can act. That's the communication we received from the Senate, Mr. Speaker, that they passed committee substitute for House Bill 132 establishing the State Educational Incentive Grant Program with a number of rather substantial amendments. Mr. Parr, who is the principal sponsor of that legislation, has indicated that the Senate action has altered substantially the action of the House, and therefore a free conference situation probably is called for. I'll therefore move, Mr. Speaker, that this body concur in the Senate amendments, thus adopting committee substitute for House Bill 132 as amended by the Senate. I'll ask the members to vote no.
Please read the bill by title.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 132 amended Senate by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act establishing the State Educational Incentive Grant Program and providing for an effective date.
Question is, shall the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 132? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Three yeas, 30 nays, 7 excused.
So the House has failed to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 132. Clerk, will please notify the Senate. In the event that the Senate fails to recede from their amendments, this time appoint a conference committee consisting of Representative Parr, Chairman, Representative Rudd, Representative Lovesett. Is further unfinished business come before the House? Representative Byrne.
Mr. Speaker, may we take up the reconsideration of House Bill 395 at this time?
Place this bill before us in third reading. Clerk, please read House Bill 395 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 395 by the Finance Committee. An act relating to capital expenditures under the Community Mental Health Services Act and providing for an effective date.
Representative Byrne.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I asked for a one legislative day's delay in considering this reconsideration because I wanted to look up some information if I could. I want to know what the actual cost might be to the state for a program of this type. If you recall, what we're talking about here is changing the law from granting the mental health community centers construction monies to build their own facilities under a grant program. Right now, they're permitted to apply to the state or to contract with the state for operating funds, but under this law, this House Bill 395, they'd be permitted to try for construction grants. And I objected to that mechanism. I don't object to the local facility owning the local mental health center or other health related organization from owning its facility, but I do object to this particular mechanism, and that's what I'm talking about today. The issue being whether they're going to rent their facilities or whether they're going to build with grant monies. Now, if they build with loan monies, I don't object to it. If they can get a loan and build their own facility, that's fine. But I figure that probably over $100 million in requests will come into the legislature very quickly. And because that includes not only the mental health centers, which is under this bill, but also, if you recall, there was a letter of intent from the Finance Committee, which could expand this to include, local centers for the developmental disabilities, alcoholism, drug treatment, and so forth. So it expanded the concept very considerably. And these requests will have to come to the legislature and be approved by the legislature, but nonetheless, they are not... It isn't necessary to do it that way, and it's going to place a large burden on the legislature, I'm sure. And as I predicted before, and I think it's true, that each community will want to build its own little empire, its own little mini miniature Alaska Psychiatric Institute. In the debate that was carried on here a couple of days ago, some references were made to the need for services in these various communities, and that's why we should pass this bill. And I'd like to reiterate that the need for services has nothing to do with this bill. This bill merely grants construction monies for facilities. The mental health centers or whatever they are, alcohol centers or drug centers, they can all rent just as easily as they, more easily than they can build, and much more appropriately, I think. So that's got nothing to do with the need for services. If they need the services there, just go rent a place and provide the services. References were made to the, to the quality of service, and I'd like to point out that in all objectivity, that these mental health centers, do a fine job, but they don't do as good a job as private enterprise does. Fortunately, it's not a state-operated mechanism. I appreciate that. These nonprofit corporations are quasi state agency, and they're funded by the state, but at least they're not actually state-operated, and I appreciate that. But in all fairness to private enterprise, I'd like to, just take Anchorage, for example, with which I'm quite familiar. We have there an Anchorage Mental Health Center, which does a good job, offers certain, types of services, but it doesn't compare in the quality of care or in the quantity of care or in the unit of cost of care to the private clinics that exist there. Just comparing the Anchorage Mental Health Center and the largest private clinic in Anchorage, that provides mental health services, there isn't any good comparison because the private clinic provides a lot more difficult type of health care, a lot more difficult patient care, at a lot less cost than per unit, you know, than does the mental health center. So we're not getting as much for our money, and I think that's important to recognize. Also, that if there is a particular need in a particular community for a mental health center of one type or another, or an alcohol center now that it's been expanded, or whatever, we can always get that appropriation to the legislature. The legislature has the power to do it anyhow, come in under just a regular appropriation system or a separate bill. But there is another mechanism that's surfaced here recently, which I think is important. It's House Bill 917, and the title of that bill is the Alaska Medical Facility Authority, which is essentially a bonding mechanism whereby the authority can provide funds for any of these nonprofit corporations or associations to build their own health facilities. And it's an important bill, and one that I think should pass the legislature, and one that will help these rural areas even more than it helps the metropolitan areas. And that would permit all these mental health centers and all the other types of nonprofit health corporations to own their own facility, and but on a realistic basis, that if they want it, they have to work for it. They get a lot more community input, a lot more motivation, I think, for these people. And therefore, with that thought in mind, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 395 go back to rules and be held there until 917 was passed. Who objected? Who dared to object, Mr. Speaker?
There's objection to the motion, Representative Broome. Question is, shall House Bill 395 be returned to the Rules Committee? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Ten yeas, 24 nays, 6 excused.
So the motion to return the bill to the Rules Committee has not been adopted. House Bill 395 before us in third reading. Is there further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Bill 395 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote?
Mr. Speaker, I didn't get registered up there. There you go. Thanks.
Clerk, please take the roll.
Twenty-four yeas, 10 nays, 6 excused.
So House Bill 395 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, all lacking 27 votes, I'll move the effective date clause.
Question is, shall the effective date clause in House Bill 395 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
32 yeas, 1 nay, 7 excused.
So the effective date clause has been adopted in House Bill 395. Still under unfinished business, is there further unfinished business come before the House? Representative Miller.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I had indicated earlier we might be able to vote on House Bill 783. The information we had hoped to hasn't been forthcoming, so we'll bring up the matter of concurrence with the Senate on that matter on Monday.
Representative Lafine.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. At this time, I'd like to place a motion to remove House Concurrent Resolution 105 from the Resources Committee and place it on Monday's calendar.
Is objection to the motion, Representative Lathine?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. This particular resolution came up in a hearing in the Resources Committee last week. Actually, it's longer than that, about a week ago, I guess. And it was discussed at that time. It was deferred and placed over until Monday of this week and was going to be brought up pending a decision of whatever the Fish and Game Board did in Anchorage last week. Well, subsequently, the Fish and Game Board closed the fisheries in Cook Inlet, taking away the king salmon fishing from the sports fishermen up there this next year, and really not addressing themselves to the problem at hand. I'd like to, just as a point of information to people here so they know what they're voting on, there was a plan adopted by the Board of Fish and Game on December 13th of 77 by a 5-0 vote, and this particular document I have is signed by Nicholas Zarbo, the chairman, that said that the salmon stocks of Cook Inlet, the king and the silver salmon, are target species for recreational anglers, while chum, pink, and red salmon are the predominant commercial fishery. Also, it goes down below here and it says that the stocks which normally move in Cook Inlet and spawning areas prior to June 30th shall be managed primarily as non-commercial resource. Stocks which normally move in Cook Inlet after June 30th shall be managed primarily for non-recreational resource until August 15th. The resolution 105, and I'd like to read that, Mr. Speaker. Says, whereas certain extent and proposed regulation from the Fish and Game Cook Inlet salmon fish appears not to be in the interest of all parties concerned, whereas equitable treatment of commercial existing sports fishing fisheries is a necessity and prime consideration of law, and whereas the Appalachian population of the Anchorage area is in serious need of enhanced recreational opportunities, and whereas fisheries resource and cooking must be judiciously managed to preserve and expand its production level, and whereas the contribution of the Cook Inlet fisheries to the tourism industry allows the sports life to be substantially increasing. Be it resolved to the Alaska State Legislature that the government is respectfully requested to direct the Department of Fish and Game to promulgate regulations opening the commercial fisheries. And this is where I will recommend an amendment to this resolution that will put in the central and northern districts of Cook Inlet from July 1 to August 15th of each year, subject to individual openings and closures within those dates by the Department of Fish and Game, and preserving the remainder of the season before and after that period to subsistence and sport fishing. This shall not preclude subsistence sport fishing during the designated period for commercial fishing. I submit to you, Mr. Speaker, it's time that we address the problem here in the legislature. I realize it's difficult for us to promulgate regulations by resolution, but the Fish and Game Board has decided not to address themselves to this problem. It's timely that we address it here in the legislature, and that's why I place this motion to bring this resolution out of committee, because I feel that it's just not going to have a fair hearing and it's not going to get on the floor. And I think we need to do something about it. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, may we be at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Question is, will the House please come to order? Question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution 105 be removed from the Resources Committee, placed on Monday's calendar? Is that the motion? Representative Miller?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I might point out that both the Chairman and Vice Chairman of the Resources Committee are not present. They've been excused from the call of the House today. I would remind the members that it would, of course, be jerking a bill out of committee for this motion to pass. And procedurally, I believe it would be a very, very bad thing. I don't expect it to happen.
Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In addition to the longstanding tradition that we have of not pulling bills out of committee, even if we did pass that bill, it wouldn't do a darn thing for the sport fishermen or the commercial fishermen in Cook Inlet this year. The board, a lot of us feel, made a political decision to close that fishery down, but this resolution talks about managing the stocks for recreational users, but it says nothing at all about opening the season this year. And again, I don't think the legislature wants to put itself in a position of managing that fishery up there. And I think that Mr. Vathine referred to the problem that's going on right now between the sport fishermen and the commercial fishermen in the Northern District of Cook Inlet. And again, this resolution has nothing to do with the present situation that's going on up there.
Representative Lathine.
Speaker, I respect the in regards to this and everyone else's, and I don't want to make it a political, partisan issue on this floor to jerk a bill out of committee. Therefore, I will withdraw my motion, but I'm going to state here that I intend to place that motion again.
Mr. Lathine has asked that the motion be withdrawn. Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the motion is withdrawn. Still under unfinished business. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? One item under unfinished business. Representative Byrne, under unfinished business.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I wonder if we could revert to introduction of guests.
Hearing no objection, revert to introduction of guests. Representative Byrne.
In Gallery A, Mr. Speaker, is an outstanding gentleman who... from Anchorage and from my district, one of my constituents, who was most helpful in the Homestead campaign to gather those 22,000 signatures. And he and his entire family worked on the Homestead petition. And I'm proud to introduce him, Mark Anderson. Stand up, Mark. Take a bow.
Further guests for introduction? Now we'll continue with the regular order of business. We're under unfinished business. One item of unfinished business, like to dispose of at this time. On Wednesday, the Legislative Council did vote to obtain a full membership in the Western States Legislative Forestry Task Force. We had previously appointed one member as an observer to that organization, Representative Eliason. Entitled to two members from each house. This time, I'd like to appoint as members from the Alaska State House of Representatives to the Western States Legislative Forestry Task Force, Representative Eliason, Representative Freeman. So further unfinished business come before the House. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that Representative Cooper be excused from the call on April 24th, 25th, and 26th.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. No further unfinished business. We're down to special orders. Are there any special orders? Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to address the body for a short while about a matter involving a newspaper article.
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, lately, and it hasn't just happened this year, about the last 3, 4, or 5 years, I've seen a political tactic start to be done that is rather incredible. I remember a few years ago an officer of one of the political parties used to have polls of the committee by passing letters out saying, if I don't hear back from you, I presume that you agree with all of this and therefore you voted on the issue. In recent months and years, it also seems to be used by special interest groups, some of which I might agree with and others which I might disagree with, saying that if you're a legislator and you don't reply to this letter immediately, we will assume you are totally against this and take ads out against you. Well, about 2 weeks ago, I was going to stand up and do a harangue about this particular thing, and I thought better of it at the time because we'd had a lot of debate that day. And I find that a member of the press, as a matter of fact, a Pulitzer Prize-winning member of the press, has taken care of the matter for us. And I would urge everybody in the chamber, if you haven't seen it already, to read Howard Weaver's column in this week's Alaskan Advocate. It's amusing, but it also addresses a serious question. And it addresses the question of what is an adult and mature way of raising political issues and talking to your representatives, and what just isn't a fair pool. And perhaps we can even use the suggested reply that he has in that column, although it uses some language that I probably wouldn't use on the floor of this House. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, can we return to introduction of guests?
Hearing no objection, revert to introduction of guests. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B, I'd like to introduce a longtime friend and constituent, Lauren Lounsbury.
Further guests for introduction? Now we'll continue with the regular order of business. We're under special orders. Are there any more special orders? Announcements, committee meetings. Representative Brown.
We, for those members who are here anyway, bag lunch meeting of the Telecommunications Committee at noon with the people from the North Star Communications Company from Seattle.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, the Commerce Committee will meet Monday morning at 8 to take up House Bill 799 dealing with pilot cars and House Bill 545, the Alaska Satellite Users Association.
What was the date of the meeting again?
Monday morning at 8.
Further announcements? Representative Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet this afternoon at 1:15 to take up House Bill 838 on the North Slope Hall Road. We'll also be taking up consideration of some of the capital appropriations, although we do not have them in our committee. The reason we'd like to do that is because some of the witnesses are here to testify on those matters. We'll also take up House Bill 935, Supplemental Appropriation to the University of Alaska.
Further announcements? Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Committee will meet at 3 this afternoon. We have House Bill 553, Licensing of Speech Pathologists and Audiologists. House Bill 632, Death and Dying. Sponsor substitute House Bill 834, Appropriation for a 26-bed youth home in Nome. And House Bill 840, Work Requirements for Recipients of Public Assistance.
Further announcements? Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, the House State Affairs Subcommittee on Capital Relocation will meet Monday morning at 9 o'clock in Senator Hackney's CRA room on the first floor of the Assembly Building to further discuss the Capital Planning Commission bill in front of the committee.
Representative Rudd.
Community and Regional Affairs will not meet Monday morning.
Are there further announcements? House, please stand at ease. House, please come to order. Representative Miles.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'm uncertain as to the chairman's intentions on judiciary, so if there is going to be a Judiciary Committee meeting this afternoon, it'll be posted on the board.
Further announcements? Representative Brown.
One more short at ease, please.
House, please stand at ease. The further announcements? Is there further business? Representative Kelly?
Now, Mr. Speaker, as the body may be aware, we're having the annual shootout with the Red Dog softball game on May 14th, and it's come to our attention that several members of this body need some practice before we go out and play such a serious game. In that light, Mr. Speaker, there'll be a softball practice tomorrow at 1 o'clock in Evergreen Bowl, and we hope that all members of the body and staff will attend. I'd particularly recommend that if Representative Smith wants to play second base again this year, that she be there.
Further announcements? Is there further business to come before the House? Representative Miller?
No, Mr. Speaker. I'll ask unanimous consent this body to stand in adjournment till 10 a.m. Monday morning.
Hearing no objection, House is adjourned.